Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. As always, well, not always. You weren't with me on Friday. You had to move and stuff. Quick note before we start. As always, we kick the show off by letting everybody know where you can find the show. You can find it on Audio Boom. That is where the RSS feed is centered off of, or it comes off of. You can always subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review us on iTunes. And then SB Nation and Silver Screen and Roll was nice enough to put our shows and articles as, you know, both parties benefit from either traffic, either audio traffic or clicking traffic, whatever it might be. It's been a lot of fun so far. This Locked On Network has been great for everybody involved. And I'm glad, or I hope everybody enjoys the show as much as we've enjoyed doing it so far. Harrison, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there despite technical difficulties. Just for people kind of listening to the podcast, this is our second attempt at recording it because my computer does not want to cooperate at the new place.
Yeah, these are the things that, you know, we have to do on you know, on a late Sunday night. Getting ready for a long work week before vacation. Today's show is going to – well, look, Mondays we would want to run everybody down, catch everybody up on whatever stories people might have missed, right? Except this weekend, the top story that seemed to generate the most interest was Luke Walton playing volleyball.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the process of moving today, so I was around my parents, and I went out and I grabbed coffee with my mom, and I was telling her, I'm like, you know, this piece that I just wrote on Luke Walton's Snapchat video of him playing volleyball with Richard Jefferson, on Richard Jefferson's Snapchat, excuse me, I was like, you know what, I might just have to retire on top. It might not get better than this.
I don't think it will.
But, like, do you think that I should just, like, my career is over, right? Like, I'm not topping that. It's like it's kind of like Kobe saving the 60-point game for his last one.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I don't know that I can go out on a better note than that.
Yeah, I would honestly, I'd consider retirement. I'd consider, if not retirement, career change. You're just, one, the actual quality of content might not ever improve, and two, Your work ethic. That's the hardest I've ever seen you work on an article was Luke Walton's volleyball career compared to, you know, you've done features and stuff like that, but this was really something.
Yeah, I really went back and did my research on this one. Not really.
All right. So today's show, as we just spoke about, there isn't very much to talk about in terms of news. So Harrison and I decided we'd have a little mini debate. It worked out pretty well last time when we talked about Julius Randle versus Larry Nance Jr. And that's a conversation.
We're not on a gondola this time, but I do want to promise the people they are going to get Harrison's hot takes. That's going to become a recurring Monday theme. That's coming up next.
Right. So that's what we're going to wrap the show up with. But for today's conversation, today's discussion is going to feature the starting five. Right now there are six guys on the Lakers who look like they deserve starting, you know, a starting role on the Lakers. But there are only five spots. So how will Luke Walton make that work? What will it say? What will decisions that he makes say about where his head is at and where the team is at? And then, you know, another topic while we're talking about different lineups is intriguing lineups. The starting five might not necessarily be the Lakers' actual best lineup or the most exciting lineup. So Harrison and I are going to talk about that as well. So Harrison, let's just go ahead and you know, line up the conversation. Five spots, six guys. Who are those six guys? And who of those, you know, which five of those guys would you want to see starting opening night?
So right now it looks like kind of the five starting spots are most likely. I mean, we don't know for sure, but most likely it's going to be some combination of Luol Deng, Timofey Mozgov, Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and that was the list, right?
I think so.
I think unless I had everybody. That was six.
Unless you left out Brandon Ingram, but I don't think you did.
Oh, yeah, Brandon Ingram. Yes. I knew I was missing someone.
Mm-hmm. So those, they're the six guys. Who are the five starters, do you think, on opening night? Or who would you want to see as the five starters? Or if those two answers differ, give them both.
I think those two answers differ, and I think it might have been a Freudian slip on my part because I left Brandon Ingram out, and I think that he's going to be the guy that gets left out of the starting lineup ultimately. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to have him come off the bench and get a little bit of experience against bench players before he kind of like they start giving him the top wing scorers in the league every single night. But I do think that there's an argument to be made for Jordan Clarkson being the guy to come off the bench, and I think that I've talked about this before, where I think that he's already said he's willing to be that sixth man. And I think that if he's coming off the bench, it allows him to kind of, he's going to be able to run an offense more capably than Brandon Ingram right off the bat. And it gives him a chance to really have the ball in his hands and have the offense run through him. And then that gives D'Angelo Russell the same opportunity with the first unit. And then with that first unit, Brandon Ingram can be kind of a more complimentary player rather than the centerpiece, which he would be if he was coming off the bench, I think, right?
Oh, that's a very good theory. Those are the second point that you brought up about Ingram having to be the centerpiece of a bench team is very interesting. I hadn't actually thought about that. The other thing, and this is what summer will do to you, especially a summer featuring so much trade speculation. But you know, when it comes to Russell Westbrook, the you know, especially if he's acquired via free agency, the immediate question is, well, wait, the Lakers have Jordan Clarkson and they have D'Angelo Russell. Why would they go after a Russell Westbrook? But if Jordan Clarkson's already, you know, if he can already thrive in a six-man role, then that makes the acquisition of Russell Westbrook, a point guard, all the smoother, right? But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I was going to say, and like not to mention that Russell Westbrook is better than either of those two players. And so like you get him and then you worry about fit. There are certain guys like veterans kind of that are on their way, that are going to be on their way down, that you start to worry about, are they taking away minutes from these guys that need to get minutes? But if you can get a guy like Russell Westbrook, then you worry about fit. Like you fit the roster around him, not the other way around.
Exactly. So
like, I think sometimes what gets lost, and I'm not accusing you of this, but I think sometimes what gets lost in this whole fit with the young core debate is, you know, this young core, they're going to be better this year. They have a year of experience under their belt, but this was a 17 win team last year. And so if you can get talent, you go and get talent.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm sick of trudging through, you know, and having to sweat out the lottery. That's no fun. But all right. So, as of right now, we mentioned what the starting five, we've predicted what the starting five might look like on opening night, and we both think that it might start without Brandon Ingram. Or would you say that it actually might start without Jordan Clarkson?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Ingram coming off the bench first. But I mean, again, it's July 24th, 25th. When, by the time that you're listening to this, 25th. Mm-hmm. And so we obviously have no idea because they haven't done training camp. We don't know how guys are looking yet. We don't know Luke Walton's thinking on this. Mm-hmm. But I think like gut feeling right now is that it's going to be Ingram coming off the bench. Although I think eventually it's going to be Clarkson.
Right. So at the criticism that we're going to get, and I can already see the mentions coming in, the emails coming in, the comments coming in, whatever it might be. But the question that we're going to receive a lot of, or we would if I didn't bring this point up, was, wait, how can you guys holler and scream and in some cases cry about Byron Scott starting, you know, X or Y veteran over X or Y young player, right? And then predict that a second overall pick is going to come off the bench next year. That seems hypocritical, but the counterpoint to that is pretty straightforward, right? It's there was no Luol Deng who would in this case get the starting spot over Brandon Ingram. Right. That's not.
How dare you besmirch the name of Ronnie the Jerry West shutdown defender Price?
Yeah,
and that's a major callback reference. If you were listening to the podcast back when the Ronnie Price Jerry West was a thing, congratulations to you for making it this far. I appreciate you.
Same, but yes, it's laughable. It was laughable in the moment that Ronnie Price was getting late game minutes over Jordan Clarkson.
Or Lynn, really. Right. It was basically anyone getting minutes over Clarkson that year, like Clarkson or Black, was a complete joke.
Right.
It just didn't make sense. Like, those were the only two young assets on the team.
Right. And it was funny then. 5 years from now, it's going to be all the more hilarious, right? It's going to be outright ridiculous when we look back and say, remember when that happened, right?
Yeah, remember when league MVP Tarik Black was getting benched for Carlos Boozer to close games?
Exactly. So that's not what's going to be going on next year when Luol Deng, who is an all-star, who is signed to a very large contract, and when...
Who might be the best player on the team currently.
Might be. I think he...
I mean,
I think it's...
Like, we got to see how Russell comes out to start the season, but I think most likely it's Deng.
Yeah, I don't think it's close as of right now. I think Luol Deng is pretty easily the best player on the team.
Hater.
But, yeah, the claim or the criticism that somehow, you know, we're giving Luke Walton a pass where we criticized Byron Scott so heavily, so much for doing the similar thing is a criticism that lacks nuance, and you know, that's fine. It's early in the off season and it's early in the season, and if we're going to start the seeing off on that foot, it's going to be a long bumpy ride. But
my thing always is like, address the straw man criticism before it even happens.
Yeah,
I mean, just get ready for the dumbest responses possible. Uh-huh. And just like pre-rebuttal them, like a preemptive strike on dumb arguments.
Hey, if you're not proactive, you're reactive, and if you're reactive, then I don't know. There's some cliche that fits that thing. I'm not gonna go there.
But, and also, speak for yourself on the crying thing. I don't think I ever cried on this podcast.
I considered it. I almost did. It was a dark night. It was a dark time in my life, you know. And real men can cry, Harrison.
I was not ready for this tonight. So let's get back to the Lakers starting lineup.
Right. So the lineup that we have, let's say it is Russell, Clarkson, Deng, Randall, Mozgov. Are there any shortcomings that are obvious right off the bat that you would say that's not ideal? I have one. I'm putting you on.
Well, even though Deng is obviously a better defensive option on the wing than anyone the Lakers played last year, I see he's still starting to slow down a little bit. Most of his effectiveness last year was playing the four, and so you do have to consider that. And like, there is kind of the loophole in here, the wrench that might get thrown in here is that Randall ends up being the one coming off the bench with Deng starting at the four. I think we could definitely see that at times this year, and that's a lineup that had a lot of effectiveness for Miami with Deng at the four, and that's where Deng was best last year.
Right. So. And that's the, you know, when we're talking about best lineups, most intriguing lineups, they'll probably feature Deng, you know, and that's something we'll talk about here in a little bit. For me, what I don't like offensively is the shooting, right? Randall, you know, his range right now is 15 feet. Are we happy with saying, you know, and that's being real nice, right?
I mean, define range, like that he can literally shoot from there or that he can make baskets from there.
Right.
Like,
right. So I would say 15 feet for Randall, probably pretty similar for Mozgov, right? He doesn't have all kinds of range there either.
Yeah, not exactly.
Dang, I believe is a career. He's close to 40% from
3-point. Not quite. Yeah, that's what I was looking up as you were talking. Dang is a career 33.4% 3-point shooter, and he shot 34.4% last year, which is good for a four, not like okay for a wing.
All right, so that's ideal.
Yeah, that's not perfect.
And then Russell and Clarkson, neither of those guys are where you'd want to see their effectiveness from 3-point range as well. So unless
they're not glued to them guys. Like they're not guys that defenders have to stay absolutely glued to, like that they're going to get in trouble with their coaches if mm-hmm. they like even leave their side, like a Ray Allen or a Kyle Korver or those types of guys. Like there's no one on the court that's going to be able to do that. And people talk about Luke Walton's Golden State-inspired offense opening things up for these guys, and that doesn't work if you don't have the talent. And that sounds simple, but mm-hmm. you're going to have guys shoot a little bit better for this to be anywhere near as fun as it has the potential to be.
Right. So I guess now that we have those shortcomings, what you do next is you try to adjust, right? You try to figure out ways that you can make this work. The thought that literally just popped in my mind, I've never had this thought before, but the thought that just popped into my mind was, all right, let's slide Mozgov out. We'll see how either Randall or Nance handle, you know, a small ball five. And you put Ingram in there at the three. And now all of a sudden you go from having a Mozgov who is a career non-existent 3-point shooter to Ingram who appears to be able to, you know, knock down the 3-pointer, you know, as well as you'd hope a rookie can. And that improves some of the spacing issues there, right? What would you think about that lineup? And then as well as, you know, you're adding length on the perimeter, which might be helpful, but you're trading that for a complete lack in rim protection.
It's interesting. It's a lineup I think we'll see. I don't think that it's going to be the starting lineup, like at all. I don't think that there's even a chance of that. Okay, that's not what you're saying?
No, I'm saying no. I would say
that's a lineup that's interesting to you,
right?
I agree. That is an interesting line. I think that is something that they'll definitely experiment with. Okay, my counterpoint was going to be they didn't just pay Mozgov $16 million to come off the bench.
I'm trying to find ways to get Mozgov out of my life. Like I can't lie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I think that they are going to experiment with Randall and Nance at the five at times because why not? Like, what do you have to lose other than more games?
Right.
Like this is kind of a throwaway year for them where I think Luke Walton, the way that he talks about growing this young team, they're obviously trying to build the competitiveness. They obviously want to have a respectable team, but this year is like they are going to make the playoffs, and I think they understand that finally. They didn't I don't get the tone coming from the organization is not playoffs or bust anymore, and I think a large part of that is Kobe being gone now, where they don't have to kind of put on the show of like it has to be playoffs. I think that they're advertising, you know, we're going to have a young, fun, competitive team, but I think this is the year when you figure out how much five can Nance play. Does it look like something that's going to be tenable going forward? Same for Randall. I think that's stuff that you have to mess around with this year, and I think it's stuff that they will mess around with.
So in terms of actual starting five, you know, things that have an opportunity or you know, any kind of likelihood, we already talked about Clarkson maybe coming off of the bench. What are the chances you see Randall supplanted by Nance for Nance's ability to shoot? Same lineup, Russell, Clarkson, Dang, Nance, Mozgov instead of Randall.
I mean, I would not be surprised to see it at all because I think that, you know, we saw last year, Nance's defense is going to get him playing time. And last year, it got him into the starting lineup with Byron when he decided that he wanted to try and get more defense in the starting lineup. So he added Larry Nance Jr. plus 1 point, but then he added Lou Williams, and it was like, okay, you're... Never mind. This was not the defensive change that maybe you were looking for. Because if you're putting in Lou Williams and you're citing you want improved defense, I mean that's just a problem already. But anyway, that went off on a tangent. But like we saw last year, Larry Nance Jr., he's going to get on the floor for his defense. And so, yeah, I think he will probably end up starting some games. Although it is interesting because the Lakers have done a lot to talk up Randle and kind of pump him up a little bit going into the season, all the Draymond kind of comparisons and Draymond talk. And, oh, Luke used to work with Draymond. And so, I mean, they haven't said Randle's going to be Draymond. But there's been a lot of that kind of stuff coming from the organization. I think that they're trying to pump up not only his value, but pump up his self-esteem. And so I think taking away his starting spot would kind of have the opposite effect. So we'll have to see how quickly they go to that, if at all.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. What I found interesting as you were talking and as I brought up Larry Nance Jr. for this kind of opportunity was he would be in, you know, inserted into the starting five, probably with defense in mind, but he also helps the offense. Spacing is a big thing. Even if it isn't, you know, Nance out there actually hitting, you know, three pointers, it's that the defense actually has to watch him, you know, from that area. Whereas my concern with Randle is while he's out there on the court, if he's outside of 15, 17, you know, if he's in that 17-foot range and further out, especially, they can ignore him completely. They can, all right, well, cool. Go ahead and stand there as much as
you can. Yeah, they're going to help off of him with abandon, kind of at that point. And that's, you know, like another reason why I'd be interested to see that second unit with Clarkson instead of Ingram, because I think if you get Clarkson in there handling the ball and kind of he is 100% speed all the time, mm-hmm. and then you have Nance Jr., you have Tarik Black, you either have Nance Jr. or Julius Randle, who both love to run the floor. Mm-hmm. You have Tarik Black, like that's a lot of fun coming in and going against bench guys. Like that's a lineup that you can really push the pace with, I think.
Lou Williams, I think either will be in there somewhere too.
Yeah, Lou Williams will probably be in there to slow it down.
Lou Williams would be the trail. He'd be the trail too, who would, you know, walk into three.
He'll get some threes just by walking up. I think Lou Williams is going to be better about moving the ball and stuff this year in kind of a more motion heavy offense. I don't think obviously his skill set is still going to be pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball, draw a foul. Mm-hmm. But I do think that his three-point shooting has utility out there for this team, and that spacing will be necessary because he is a good three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And again, on a team like the Lakers that is so desperate for shooting, guys like Lou, you just kind of have to get them into the lineup and see if you can make it work so that you have a shooter on the court with some of these lineups. Any other tweaks to the starting five that you could see? We've already talked about Clarkson stepping out with Ingram stepping in. We've talked about Randle stepping out with Nance stepping in. I don't think we'll see many scenarios this year where Deng steps out and Ingram steps in just because of what Deng probably signed up for. But if it did happen, it wouldn't necessarily shock you, right?
No, and I think that if you bring Ingram in, it's either to play Deng at the four or it's to play Ingram at the two.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, so
if you're bringing them into the starting lineup, I think those are the most likely scenarios.
Right. So the next, you know, thing that we were going to talk about was going to be intriguing lineups that we really just, I just want to see it, right? If the Lakers can, what do we call it? The shin kicker lineup? Is that what we call it?
The lineup of, so the Golden State Warriors have the lineup of death, and now they just have the death star that they've replaced Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
But so the Lakers, they don't have anything quite that deadly, but we know Luke Walton's going to get some weirdo small ball lineup that he's going to throw out there. And, you know, it's not death, but it is the lineup of getting kicked in the shin. That is very unpleasant. And, you know, a lot of times if you've been around young kids, you know, like I used to work in schools at times and, you know, those kids, they get mad and they're like, hey, I'm going to kick you in the shin. And right. So I think that's what this young Lakers lineup is going to do. It's not the lineup of death, but it's the lineup of getting kicked in the shin.
Yeah.
And if you guys can come up with a better name for it, please add us on Twitter.
Yeah. The lineup of stubbing one's toe.
Yeah.
Like that's, if you are out there listening right now and you have stubbed
the inconveniently placed coffee table lineup.
Yeah, like if you've ever stubbed your toe and you didn't utter a curse word, you're an absolute saint. Like Mother Teresa would praise you for your saint.
The stepping on a Lego lineup.
Oh, that's the worst too. Ooh.
Yeah. Just like right. one loose Lego that you just step on right with your heel. Like that's what yeah. this lineup is going to be.
Well, like the brain freeze lineup.
Yeah. we're just coming up with a list of mildly unpleasant things that like, this is the doing your tax return lineup.
Oh man.
So guys, give us your best suggestions on Twitter at LockedOnLakers, at HM Fagan, at Anthony Irwin LA, at us, and we'll have some fun with this, I think, tomorrow after this podcast drops. So please throw those at us. But Anthony, as we get into that, you know, we've set it up a lot. What is your lineup of getting kicked in the shin?
Hilarious is what it is. All right. So
what your lineup of accidentally using eardrops in your eye.
All right, so my lineup of whatever nuisance that we would like to call it would have D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Ingram, Deng, and Nance. That's what I would like to watch out there. That's an actually fun lineup. Now we can have lineups out there, like anytime Lou Williams and Nick Young are on the court at the same time. And please, Lakers, don't let us have Nick. Like, don't make us watch Nick Young next year.
Oh, but Nick Young's gone. Come on. Nick Young's not going to be back. Like, let's be real here.
I know. I'm just saying. Just please, you know, come on, Lakers.
Do technically under contract, but, you know, that's not for much longer.
Like, I would much rather see Nick. All right, I don't want it to get personal. I'm not going to go there. But yes, that's the lineup that I would have wanted to see. D'Angelo Russell, Clarkson, Ingram, Deng, and Nance. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, oh my God, we need to see more of this. 1 being, oh my God, I might vomit. Where would you put that? Where would you put that lineup?
I think we put it at a 9. I think we put it at a 9. I'm not quite willing to go 10 because I don't think that there is a 10 lineup on this team.
Nope.
But that is an intriguing one, and it's definitely one that they should experiment with this year. My lineup is very similar, but I see your Deng and I raise you a Randle. Because I was kind of on the let's play around with the Randle Nance front court train all last year, it was pretty good in limited minutes, very, very small sample size, but I would like to see more of that, especially now that it looks like Nance has improved his jump shot.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that too. If you're going to talk like that, then you know you could insert like Tarik Black in either of those spots as well. And see
Tarik Black is getting left out, but unleashed Tarik Black is going to be fun this year. Like, all right, he can't do a lot, but he can definitely catch a pass off of a pick and roll and dunk the hell out of the ball. And he's going to do it sometimes, and they're going to be like him and Nance. They're going to be games where at least one game this year where him and Nance Jr. get into a poster contest.
I'd be perfectly fine watching that. All right. Do you have you mentioned your lineup? I have another one going the opposite direction, where the other lineup was a small one with a bunch of whippersnappers, as Charles Barkley probably calls small people nowadays. But I want to go another way and go with D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Luol Deng, Larry Nance Jr., and either Timofey Mozgov or Ivica Zubac. And just go as long as you can possibly go. Just put as much arms out there on the court at one time as you possibly can. And I actually think that'd be a semi-decent lineup against, you know, a bigger team.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I would actually go away from Mozgov and throw Tarik Black in there at center. And then I think that you just have a sea of mobile arms.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like we were watching in summer league a little bit to an extent, and obviously that's lower level of competition. But mm-hmm. like the Tarik Black at center there interests me a little bit more, at least until we see what Mozgov can bring in mm-hmm. terms of rim protection if he's all the way back to health. If he's back to the player he was 2 years ago before the knee injury, or he's like a close approximation of that, he's going to surprise a lot of people. He's going to be pretty good, I think, for this team. But it's just unlikely that he reaches quite that height. But so I'd say throw Tarik Black in there in his place. And then again, it's just arms everywhere. But so for the same reason that you brought that one up.
It's just fun. I was thinking about this, you know, while we were at Summer League, and there was some discussion about, you know, what lineups could look like. And it was cool to me to have that moment where you say to yourself, hey, the Lakers actually have fun lineups. Like, there's a possibility.
They have, like, more than one interesting lineup this year.
This is crazy. You can actually preview the Lakers and not hope that they spend 48 minutes with the same five guys on the court.
Yeah, exactly.
Any other intriguing lineups that you could piece together off the top of your head? Because that's all
I'm kind of interested to hear. What is your victory cigar lineup? Or I guess lost cigar more times than not.
Oh, like the tank lineup.
Yeah, like the game's over. Who's out there now?
Okay. All right. So I thought you were talking about, like, because in Pat, the last couple of years, especially when we started Team Tank, it was, you know, your victory cigar was lit up after the Lakers had just lost in some.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
But all right, so the victory cigar lineup where it's just the game is over, it's out of reach already. The Lakers have already blown out the Golden State Warriors again. I would go.
Sorry, Steph, stop seeing Deadpool right before you play the Lakers.
I would go Marcelo Huertas, Jose Calderon, Lou Williams, D'Angelo Russell, and Jordan Clarkson. Just all, like, just 5-point guards.
Okay, come on, you're being ridiculous.
What? I'm playing small ball. I don't know what you're talking about. Who's yours? The game doesn't matter. You said the game doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. But come on. Like, he's going to put a lineup that's not going to get murdered out there. Like, D'Angelo, like, you want D'Angelo to go defend the center?
I like how that's the concern there. You have hope.
I mean, that was my primary concern there is the death of D'Angelo Russell in garbage time of a meaningless game. Like, they send him out there, and it's some D-League center trying to make his name, and he's, like, trying to post him up and, like, just elbows him viciously in the head. Like, come on, you gotta be careful, man. Like,
so who's your
So I think same backcourt. I think you got Huertas and Calderon are out there. Mm-hmm. Although I'm dubious that they're going to have Calderon be part of a victory cigar lineup because I think he's just going to be the first point guard off the bench. So it might be Lou Williams. I don't know. Like, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then at small forward, I think, sadly, it's going to be Anthony Brown for now. We'll see if he starts to get to a point where he contributes this year. But for now, I think it's probably Brown. At power forward... Well, okay, so Zubats is going to be out there at center. Mm-hmm. Power forward will probably end up being, I guess, Tarik Black.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, the spacing is going to be a nightmare, but sure, why not?
Well, I mean, it's the victory cigar lineup. Hey, I'm just trying to figure out the bottom five, like that. Like, maybe they bring Sacre back for that.
Oh, come on, man! I was in a good mood.
#StaySac.
I was in a good mood, and you had to say that name. And all right, but no, I would see, like, Tarik Black and Zubats. Like, for all that they don't bring offensively, I'd say that's a pretty good front court defensively, right? Like, in terms of rim protection, I don't know how.
I mean, against D-League guys, absolutely.
Yeah, it's look, I can't really criticize the lineup you put together, considering I put 5 point guards out there just to see what happens.
Yeah. Going small. You got to experiment.
Light years. All right.
Yeah, light years ahead.
I think I'm on 3 straight shows having said light years. Somebody take a look at the advanced analytics and let me know where I stand there. I might.
Yeah, frequent listeners.
I might actually try to get this going throughout the entire year. Find a way to say light years. If some sponsor out there wants to sponsor me saying light years, I'll say it every show. Like, email me, anthony.f.irwin@gmail.com. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, he'll say anything for a sponsorship.
Can confirm.
I'm willing to put that out there and volunteer you for that.
All right. So that's our most intriguing lineups. We've already talked about what, you know, the entire issue of the starting lineups. Harrison, you've been absolutely chomping at the bit right now. I can see you. You're it's kind of scary, guys. He's slobbering a little bit. He's frothing at the mouth. He just scratched his neck for some reason. I don't know what's going on over there.
Okay, man, come on. This is not cool. Like, you're making it sound like I'm going into, like, convulsions. Like, I'm fine. I'm excited. I got some fire burning inside me, just right in my gut, just spasming. and it's just ready to be unleashed. I got like a fire take.
All right, Stephen A. Fagan, do your thing. Harrison's
okay,
hot
so,
takes.
Yeah, this is Harrison's hot takes for this week. And so just like picture for a minute, you know, how much you as a fan would want to be a Laker. It's a lot, right? Like you'd want to be a Laker. I don't think Brandon Ingram wants to be a Laker. I'm just going to come out and say it.
Ooh, man.
He hasn't signed his contract yet. It obviously doesn't mean that much to him to be a member of the team. Oh, you're just going to go out and play in summer league and like not sign your contract. It's just like, eh, no, I want to play in Europe or something.
Even worse, he got himself insured. So like, it's not one of those things where he, you know, was ready to play, you know, he's ready to ride or die for the Lakers. He went and got himself insured. Ugh, he's the worst.
Yeah. You know who did sign their contract? Ivica Zubac. He signed it right away. First week he could. You know why? Because he loves playing for the Lakers. He made that very clear. He told Larry Nance Jr., I love Lakers. I didn't hear Brandon Ingram saying, I love Lakers. Did you? I didn't hear it. I don't think I heard it. So, I mean, and then, like, you go out on top of that. He does the whole insurance policy drama queen thing for Summer League instead of just signing his contract. And then he's out here. He's out here with Team USA all week, and he couldn't even make the final roster. He's just like, I guess he was like, I'm going to play for Team USA instead of playing for the Lakers. And he didn't make the final roster. And before you're like, oh, no, that wasn't a big deal. The roster was already set. Like, and you try to, like, recite some facts at me. Mason, let me rebuttal you with this. Mason freaking Plumlee made Team USA off of his Duke connection. And Brandon Ingram couldn't make it. Mason Plumlee is terrible. And he made Team USA just because he knew Coach K. He's like, hey, Coach K, can I be on Team USA? And he's like, sure, we're going to win anyway. You can ride the bench. Like, Brandon Ingram couldn't even get that. You know why? He's probably a cancer. I don't know. He's probably a locker room cancer. Who could say?
It's a good thing you said locker room.
Like, Coach K was like, no, I don't want this guy on my team. I had to deal with his drama queen antics all year. He wouldn't sign a contract for Duke either. Just took a... And then, like, to make it all worse, like, you know you can't trust this guy. Like, Mitch, Jim, you got to walk away. You know you can't. This guy comes to Team USA camp. He's got the flag on his chest. On his chest. And he lies about never missing a free throw in high school. Just blatantly lies. Like, he doesn't think there's a stat book that people can look up. And he's just like, hey, I never missed a free throw because I'm so patriotic. Like, maybe he didn't say that last part. But he still lied playing for Team USA. And that's just, I think that's an unforgivable sin. And so, like, you know, if he's willing to lie about that, who's willing to say he's not lying about, like, oh, yeah, I want to play for the Lakers. Let's negotiate a contract. Maybe he wants to play for a Europe team, or maybe he wants to go back to Duke. What's to stop him from doing that? Literally nothing that I'm aware of. I don't think can stop him from doing that. So, Mitch, Jimmy, I got some of you just – I know you just took him second overall. But this guy, you got to walk away from contract negotiations.
Don't even try to trade him. Just let him walk.
No, you have to cut him. I think that you have to show the rest of the locker room what happens when you're not willing to sign a contract. You just go, hey, all right, you don't want to negotiate us? You don't want to take the veterans minimum? Fine, we don't want you. You don't want to be a Laker? That's cool. You don't have to be a Laker. And then, like, free agents are going to be like, wait, why is that place so cool that they're willing to just cut their number two overall pick? Like, if that's how into being Lakers they are, like, maybe I should want to be a Laker. I think it's a great recruiting pitch. It makes total sense in my mind. So I think, you know, Mitch, Jimmy, just walk away. Just take that contract and just light it on fire right in front of him. Let him go play for the Warriors if he just doesn't want to play for the Lakers so bad.
And when he sees that fire, that'll be the first fire he's actually seen, because he doesn't have that fire in his belly that you'd want to see.
And he doesn't have the fire of this take. So that is Harrison's hot takes. Brought to you by sponsor to be named later.
Brought to you by alcohol, even though you don't drink.
I don't even drink. No, that is the fire inside of me.
You know
that knows that the Lakers need to walk away from this. This is just a train wreck. Like, D'Angelo Russell is already clearly a bust because he didn't make the Summer League All-Star team or whatever the hell. And, like, he didn't make Team USA. I don't see Julius Randle making Team USA. Like, you got, like, these three guys that go out there. Even the one with the Duke connection didn't make Team USA. You got to walk away.
You have the Splash Brothers. You have the Bash Brothers. You have now the Bust Brothers. And you have D'Angelo and the Buss brothers would be D'Angelo Bustle and Brandon Ingrate, right? Like that's what we're looking at now.
I think it's clear.
You heard it here, folks, everybody. Like this is
I wanted to get ahead and I wanted to set this trend. So sorry, not sorry, Brandon Ingram.
It sounded even like the fact that your microphone and your computer wasn't working, you sounded like some kind of radio caller, and it sounded all the better. That was phenomenal. All right.
Brandon Ingram, if you made it this far without smashing your phone, I don't honestly think that you should be cut. Just want to throw that out there.
All right.
Harrison's Hot Takes is parody, but if you're actually mad, please feel free to respond to me on Twitter. I will enjoy that.
That's what we're here for. All right, everybody, enjoy your Monday. We will talk to you again tomorrow. This is Anthony Irwin at Anthony Irwin LA. That is Harrison Fagan at HM Fagan. I'm still waiting for him to change it to at Stephen A. Fagan. I'm a little bummed that hasn't happened yet. You can follow the podcast on at Locked On Lakers. And as I said at the beginning of the show, follow us on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Silver Screen and Roll. I'm working on SoundCloud. And if you have any other requests as far
SoundCloud doesn't want to sign a deal with us. Let's walk away from them too.
All right. Sorry, SoundCloud.
Gotta follow our own example.
I'm walking away.
No, SoundCloud, no, like seriously though, like it's fine if you want to have us. That's cool.
All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your Monday. Try to get through it. We're just that much closer, one day closer to the Lakers season, and I'm one day closer to Cancun.
Yeah, I hope I pumped you up for your Monday.
I just picture somebody sitting there at their cubicle, just dying. Or somebody sitting at their cubicle agreeing. That'd be even better. All right, everybody, enjoy your day.
Thanks, Anthony.
Oh.